We're up to Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, Voyaz Ola Hashar, Vayeshev Sham. Voyaz, he sends to the gate. The gate, of course, referring to the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, we'll see in a moment, there's a discussion if this is the Sanhedrin HaGadol, or is this the Sanhedrin HaKatan. There were two Sanhedrins. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was no Beis HaMikdash, obviously, at this time. There was the Mishkan Shiloh, but we assume what existed, the Mishkan Shiloh parallel what existed at the Beis HaMikdash, and there's a Sanhedrin Gedoyla, the Lishkas HaGozis, 71 Dayanim, and the Sanhedrin Kitana. How many judges are there in the Sanhedrin HaGadol? 70. How many Dayanim are there in the Sanhedrin, Kitana? 23. For a grand total of 93. The number 93 is a very significant number. Uh-huh. You have the word 93 many places. And you have it in the Kinois. And sometimes when it says 93, it refers to the totality of the Sanhedrin. We think of the Sanhedrin as 70. That's it. First of all, it's not so similar. It's 70. It's machlokes in the first mission of Sechel Sanhedrin. Is it 70 or 71? But let's put that aside. But even if let's learn that it's 70, then there is the Sanhedrin Ketana that is 23 that gives the grand total of 93. You see that number every so often. Yeah, I have it in the Kinois on Tisha B'Av. It says that one of the more popular Kinois that the 93 Kalim were not to be found. What does it mean the 93 Kalim were not to be found? So it means that the members of the Sanhedrin, a person is the ultimate Klesh Aris. There were 93 Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash that we know. That were used every single day. It's a Mishnah, Masechta Talmid, 93 Kalim. Why were there 93 Kalim? So the Yerushalmi says, corresponding to the 93 Azkaros, the 93 mentions of Hashem's name in Sefer Daniel, Ezra Nehemiah. Hashem's name is mentioned 93 times in what? It's a Yerushalmi. I forgot which svarim. So corresponding to the 93 Shemus of Hashem's name mentioned in a certain section of Tanakh. That's why there are 93 mentions of 93 Kalim used every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. The problem is the 93, we don't find 93 Shemus in those svarim which Chazal referred to. You have to be very creative in figuring out how you get to number 93. But another reason why there were 93 Kalim is Derech Drush. It doesn't say it's Chazal, it's a Drush, is because there were 93 members of the Sanhedrin in total. And it's interesting. What? 23. No, in the Beis HaMikdash, on Har HaBayis, there was only one Sanhedrin Ketana on Har HaBayis. And why was it even necessary for there to be, you could have like 20 courts. Obviously, there's something to Sanhedrin Gedoyla, 73, and then the Ezra's Nashim sat in Sanhedrin Ketana, or on the Har HaBayis, 23, for a total of 93. So here, I'm just making that point, is because over here we find, according to the Targum, we're going to see now in a few moments, is that when Boaz originally told her that it's known, behold, the Shar Ami, that you are an Eishes Chayil At, the Targum there is said in the Sanhedrin HaGedoyla, the Sanhedrin HaGadol of 70 Dayanim. Here, when it's going to say Bola Boaz, Ola Hashar, mysteriously, he only went to the Sanhedrin Ketana. He didn't.
Local.
What?
Was
it? I don't know. We don't know. It was Shiloh. This was a Shiloh. We don't know. There was no Yerushalayim at this point in time. There was no Yerushalayim. It didn't exist. How far was Shiloh from Beis Lechem? I don't know. But he went Hashar. Okay, so we'll see. So this is something I want to point out, that there are two different types of Sanhedrins. And each one has a different role, a different function. And the Targum, we mentioned Sanhedrin a few times in Sefer Rus. And it's very interesting is that the Targum actually defines which Sanhedrin he went to in each particular instance. Before it said that when he praised her that she's known among the Shar Ami, it refers to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And here, if I'm not mistaken, we'll see in a moment, he does not refer, he just says he went to the base din of the Sanhedrin, doesn't say that he went to the Sanhedrin HaGadol like it said before. Okay, Vayeshev Shamsu Boizel Hashem.
Well, it wants to establish a new
Allah. Oh, so it would be Adarabah. So we would think Adarabah, he should definitely go into the Sanhedrin, but he does not. That's exactly what makes it even more mysterious. Why before, when does Perek Beis have to find the Pasuk? Didn't Perek, I think Perek, whatever it was, where he says, Ki Yodeh Kol Shara, it's known in Sharami that Ki Eishes Chayil At. Let's see if we can actually find that Pasuk. I think it's Perek Beis. The Mihanar Hazos, a people she fell on her face.
It's Perigimel Pasuk.
Perigimel?
Okay,
Perigimel Pasuk Pasuk? Perigimel Pasuk Yud Aleph.
And there it says Sanhedrin Rabbah.
Oh, okay, so we'll go back to Perigimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki Yodia Kol Shahar Ami. Okay, the Shar of my nation, Pasuk Yud Gimlin, Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Targum, Sanhedrin Rabbah Da'ami, the Sanhedrin great, the great Sanhedrin of my nation. And here when it says Sanhedrin, it leaves out the word Rabbah. So what's the difference? Maybe you'll say, because here it says Ami, maybe that's why. Kiyodeya, Kol Shar Ami. Here it just says, Allah Hashar. So maybe you'll suggest, because it doesn't say the word kol, it says here shar. Or it doesn't say the word, here it says, doesn't say ani. But on the other hand, here it says hashar. The hey ha'idiyah. Allah hashar. To the gate. Not a raya. Okay, I don't know. We're just playing around with different ideas, different things to take note of. Let's see over here again the pasuk. Vinei.
With all I need the sun, the purpose that is.
Well, let's see the past. Let's see, it was done in many stages. There are many different stages to what's being done. Let's see. Ubayaz Ola Hashar, Vayeshev Shav, he sat down there. Vihine, and behold, Hagoyel Oiver. The Goyel suddenly passed. Asher Diber Boaz, the one that Boaz spoke about yesterday to Rus, that the one that is a closer relative, which we're assuming now his name is Tov. Vayomer, Boaz said to him, Surah, turn aside. Whatever you're doing, I have something even more important. Put away your cell phone. Put away, come over and pay close attention. Shavah post, sit down over here. Peloni Almoni, here we don't call him by name, we call him, we'll see in a moment what this means. Peloni, so and so, who is Almoni, who is hidden. Vayosar, he turned aside, Vayeshev, and he sat down. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Aleph. So that's exactly what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that it was a miracle, he was in the other end of the world. He was in China on business, and it was miraculous that he got on a flight to Concord. Even if you were at the end of the world, he arrived. The fact that it says the word vihine, the word vihine has a connotation, the unexpected. Unexpected, right, we always find in Tanakh the word vihine has been used in reference to an event that is unexpected. So here it was Hashkocha Pratis, and there are numerous Midrashim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to fulfill the will of a tzaddik. Boaz was a very great tzaddik. Boaz needed this person. So Hashem made it happen that the Goyal just happened to come to court on that particular day. An amazing Hashkocha Pratis. You want to talk about the Megillas Esther? As we mentioned before, the events, the coincidences that are happening here in Sefer Rus are even greater than the coincidences that are happening in Megillas Esther. Happens to be that she comes back, Rus and Nami, but Dafka on the day when everyone is gathering together, when Boaz's wife dies, and he happens to be available, and she happens to stumble upon the field of Boaz, there's so many coincidences, and especially over here, the Goyal just happens to appear in the middle of nowhere. On this particular day, he comes to court. All of these things are Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is pulling the strings. Kasher Yipol Davar, like we said before, Yipol Davar, these things are falling into place in order to bring about the coming of Mashiach. Okay, let's go over here, Pascal, from the Rashi.
Well, I seem to have put a responsibility on Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he told Rus, tomorrow I'm going to settle this.
Right.
Loni Amoni was in China.
I don't know. The answers are much greater than the question. These are super bizarre events.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. is Lashon Nekeva. Ushua is also Lashon
Nekeva. Okay.
Should be Sur and Shame.
Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know. I don't know anything about grammar, so I don't. It's not for me to speak.
Sur.
Sar. Vayomer.
Shave po.
It says shvu po. So
what's wrong?
Po is
nekeva,
so it says
a yasa. Vayomer sura shvu. Okay, I don't know. He's talking to the goyal. He's talking to Pliny Almoni. Vayomer sura shvu po.
A male.
Of course, he's a male. Okay, I don't know the answer. Okay, you're right. You know, you're making a good point. I don't know the answer. I don't know the nuances of grammar. I don't know. Vayos, let's see. Vayos, Vayesh, let's see over here. Rashi Pascal, Poloni Almoni. So Rashi here says his name. Why do we not mention his name? According to Rashi, as we learned before yesterday, two days ago, that there's a machloikis. Rashi and the Targum, is his name Toif? Or was it mentioned before? Mm-hmm. According to Rashi, Rashi explicitly says, Im Yigal Toif, his name was Toif. The Targum said, no, Toif was not his name. Toif means Im Yigal Kama. If the closer relative will choose to redeem you, to redeem the property and marry you, adraba, that would be ideal, because he is closer. And we discussed last week, yesterday, 2 days ago, that he was better yichus. His yichus includes Shevet Binyamin, and that means the Melech HaMashiach will have in him the blood of both Yehuda and Binyamin. Ma toivu ma nohim. It would be the ultimate good. But if he doesn't want, then we'll go for the backup plan, plan B. I'll step in, even though I only have the yichus of Yehuda, I'll be Mashiach ben David, and someone else will have to be Mashiach ben Yosef. So that's the way the Targum seem to learn. Toiv has nothing, is not the name of the person, it has meaning what the situation is. Here, according to L'chol HaDeos, his name is not mentioned, so Rashi puts a negative spin on it. He did not want to redeem. Rashi already here is following the end, which is very interesting, because you don't judge a person al shem ha'asid. Hashem gives every person b'chira chofshes, and at this point in time, he did not yet make a decision, and already we're calling him al shem ha'asid, we're saying that he does not want almoni, so that basically means the very powerful limud musar that a person's name is his identity. A name captures your mission, your purpose in life. His purpose would have been to marry this woman, to marry Rus, and to be the father of Melech HaMashiach. That was his purpose. He chose not to fulfill his purpose in life, so he lost his name. He does not have a name, he does not have an identity. His essence has disappeared. Before a person is put into the grave, the Chevra Kadisha, they say to him, remember your name. And they say his name to him. It's a very bizarre custom. Why is it done? It means, obviously, the name, that's the last thing the neshama hears before they put the earth, before the final stage of burial takes place, and before the neshama returns to Shemayim. He's told his name. That's the most important thing. Maybe you think they would ask him, where'd you hide all the money? Maybe you can come back in a dream and tell us where the treasure is. Obviously, the name of a person is his truest essence. If that's the last thing the neshama hears in this world before it departs, what his name is, obviously that speaks volumes. And here the pasuk is telling us, guess what? This poor fellow doesn't have a name. When he goes into the grave, there is no name. They're not going to say to him, your name is so-and-so. He lost his name. Why? He is a failure. He has failed his mission in life. It's a very frightening idea. Rashi is right away saying this, al shema osid shavupo. Now we'll see if soon the midrashim, they don't all put such a negative spin on a ploni almoni. In fact, the Targum seems to indicate that he was a tsunua. Ploni almoni means he was a humble person, a person who is discreet. Okay, we'll see the Targum in a few moments. And it's being used in the positive sense. Come here, come aside, you humble man. Ploni almoni, it basically, you're a tzaddik. You're a tzaddik, you're a tsunua. I want to tell you some good news, that you have an opportunity to be the father of Melech HaMashiach. Okay, we'll see that in a few months. Let's first see the Rashis. Rashi...
Did you first entice him with the land?
Yes, we're going to. We're going to see soon. There are two approaches to these following psukim. One approach is that he was trying very hard to persuade told that he should do the, that he should marry Rus. He was doing everything in his power. It's the, it's in your best interest. You should do it. And other mefarshim go to the other extreme, just the opposite. I don't want you. And there are various reasons. Either he felt that he was not, he was, it was not royal lekach. He was not a talmud chacham. He was not on a spiritual level where he was fit to take this mission. Or even if he was, Boaz says, I want to do it. Why should I let him do it? Let me do it. This touches upon a very big, very an inyan. Is there a concept of ani hamahapich becharora with regard to mitzvahs? We all know that when it comes to business, it comes to parnasa. You have let's say the literal case. You have a poor man. He's on it. He sees in the street a wafer, a loaf of bread. He's hungry and he's making his move. His eyes are set on that loaf of bread that's hefker in the street, and there's a heksher. Of course, it's kosher, no problems. And he's closing in on it. And I happen to be standing right next to him, and I happen to notice it afterwards. And oh, it's hefker. It's hefker. So I could also take it for myself. But someone already has eyes set on it. That's not a nice thing to do. Even though technically there's no violation of halacha, it's not ethical. It's not ethical for you to take away something that someone else has his heart and mind set upon. Ani hamahapich b'charara, a poor man that's trying to acquire something, and you go stand in his way and take it for yourself. It's an unethical act of behavior to do such a thing, but it's not technically wrong. Question is, how far does that go in mitzvahs? A person is set on doing a certain mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, hashava saveda. Lying in the street is someone's tefillin, his talis bag, and his name is on it, and there's a telephone number, and there's a person over here, and he sees it, and you know for a fact, you know from history, you know that he's going to come there within 10 seconds, chap the tefillin bag, he's going to take out a cell phone, call up the person, and return it to him. You happen to be right next to it, and you see the entire situation, but you want the mitzvah. Why should I let this guy have the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda when I can have the mitzvah? So do we apply the principle, Ani Hamahabich Becharara, a poor man that's trying to take a loaf of bread for himself, and you come along to mitzvahs? So this is a topic of discussion. I don't have the names of the Pesachim for you, but someone to learn, that's really what the Machlok is here between these two opinions, these two approaches, with regard to Goel and Boaz and Tov. Here there is a very great mitzvah, the mitzvah of Yibam. The mitzvah of Yibam to bring Melech HaMashiach on, and we have Tov. He basically is the Oni HaMahabich Becharara. He has first rights. Is another person allowed to try to chop away the mitzvah? I want to let you know, she is a Moaviyah. Ooh, we'll see that in a few moments. A Moaviyah, which means you're going to have trouble. Generations. It's not going to be clarified, even though I'm telling you the halachas that it's mutable. All of the charedim, the extremists, they're not going to accept this psak halacha because they think the bezin is tainted. The bezin is modern orthodox. They're not going to accept the psak of the bezin for many generations. So maybe it's not in your best interest. Why is Boaz trying to say these things to him? Because if you have doubts, I have no problem with doing the mitzvah. Is that ethical? Boaz knowing that Melech HaMashiach will come from this person, is ethical to say these things like this, which should plant seeds of doubt in his mind? Boaz can go the other way around.
And
do it himself. So is that ethical? That's a very tough question. There's a lot of unknowns. But again, all of these things are not clear and they're subject to debate. But the starting point of all of this debate begins with what exactly is the attitude of Boaz in his discussion, his conversation with Ploni Almoni. And every step of the way, you're going to see the Mefarshim. Some learn this very. They put a very negative spin, and some put a positive spin, starting with Ploni Almoni. Why are we calling him Ploni Almoni? Rashi is very negative. Guy was an oisvarf. It makes it sound like he was a good for nothing. He didn't want to do the mitzvah. He had a golden opportunity. He just let it go by. He lost his name. Next, Rashi goes on to say, what does it mean, Almoni? Let's see, he goes over here, the next words of Rashi. Miturgam b'nevi'im. Pliny Alma Meturim and Neviim Kesiu Tamir. There in Pasuk Shmuel it says also the word, there was a person there, it was a Pliny Almoini. It means his name is concealed, Vitamir and hidden. His name is concealed and not, it's hidden because he lost his name. The name is not publicly known.
That's the Pliny part.
The Pliny, okay. The Pliny, okay, fine. Pliny Kesiu Tamir, it's hidden. Almoin. Okay, we have to look up the Pasuk of Shmuel.
Almoni just says means nameless.
Okay, name. Okay.
Well, you look at the next fraction.
Okay, Ploini Mechusav Nelam. Lashon Ki Yafli. Ki Yipole. Or it's Ki.
That's Ploini.
Okay, Ki Yipole. This week's parasha. Ish Ki Yafli Lindar Neder Nozir LaHashem. There are many translations for the word Ki Yafli. Do something wondrous.
That's not the Pasuk.
There was referring to was that. That's it's hidden. Ki Yipole V'mchad Davar LaMishpat Bein Din L'Din Bein Dam L'Dam L'Din L'Din. Something that is hidden from you. Ki Yipole. So it's a fascinating translation. Poloini comes from the Pei Lamed. Rashi typically says that a Shoresh has to have at least three letters. This is Rashi and Menachem ben Tzaddok. How many letters do you need in a word to have a Shoresh? Rashi always says you need three. Menachem ben Tzaddok says you need two. And Rashi here, if this is the real Rashi, it seems to be saying that the Shoresh comes from the two. Poloini, there's only two letters.
Is the other example of the Pei Lamed Aleph?
Pella, right, Ki Yipole. And over here there's no Aleph, Piloini. There's only Pei Nun, Pei Lamed. So but he's saying there's a similarity, and that's enough to mean that the person's name is hidden. Okay, Hayipole Me Hashem Dovar. In reference to the Melech, it's interesting, the Rashi is quoting this Pasuk. It's interesting because this Pasuk is a reference to Mashiach. Hayipole Me Hashem Dovar. Lamoyed Oshuv Elecha Ko'es Chaya Ulesara Bein. Now why did I say that? Is there something that Hashem can't do? Why is that Pasuk reference to Melech Mashiach? Years ago, 100 years ago, before we were all born, when they started with the codes, so what were you looking for, a code? Can you actually have a computer? And you want, now you're going to discover when is Mashiach coming. You're going to type in Mashiach and you're going to look when is the first reference in the Torah equal, this skips in space. So believe it or not, the first place in the Torah where you have an equal distance of letters where you skip for the word Mashiach is in this pasuk. Hayipolei me Hashem davar lamoed ashuv elech ke'es chayol l'sarabein. In this pasuk is ha Mashiach. I guess it's I think it's, I've got how many letters it could be after, but it's in this pasuk. So it's interesting over here that over here we're dealing over here in this pasuk of here the Ploni Almoni from whom it was meant to come the Melech Hamashiach, and he has decided now that he's not going to do the mitzvah. And Rashi is saying what does mean Ploni means hiddenness, and he actually quotes that pasuk Hayipolei me Hashem davar.
Why? It doesn't mean hidden in that.
Is there anything that Hashem can do? Meaning it's a question form. Hayipolei, but the word plia means it's hidden. Cannot be done. It doesn't exist. It does not exist.
That's two different meanings.
Right. But there, it's there. The word. It's the same word. It's just the way the word is used. It means that it can be done because we're referencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What something that cannot be done by a human being can be done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something that is a plia, that is hidden, that is concealed from a human being, is revealed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Almoini. What does it mean, Almoini? Almoin, a same exact thing. Almoin means mibli shame. Alma means a person that does not have a name. Svar macherim almoini. It's like elaim. Elaim, almoin, lashon of elaim. Elaim means a deaf mute. A deaf mute means a person that cannot speak. Person's koyach is who his dibor. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim vayehi ha'odom l'nefesh chaya. The Targum says l'ruach memalala. Life is described in terms of the koyach ha'dibor. If a person cannot speak, he's not a person. He's elaim. He's concealed. He's like an elaim, a deaf mute. A deaf mute cannot speak. He does not exist.
All the same letters as alman or widower or almana.
Person that is a widow or a widower, he does not have an identity. He's a half a person. A half a person is not. It's not half a person is not a half person. It's not a person. If you don't have the better half,
relationship.
Right. So that's another example of why an almana is called an almana, and why an almoin is called an almon, because it means they're lacking an identity. When you don't have your better half, you're lacking your shlemus, your identity. Mibli shame. Svarim achedim almoini shoya almoin. Another interpretation, same idea. What he was an elaim, he was a deaf mute. He could not speak in divrei Torah. If you wanted to question, what's today's daf? What did you learn in today's daf? I don't know what today's daf is. What masechta are they learning in the daf yomi? It's like the joke. A person went to the Sima Shas, and he was sitting there to see my Shas, and he says, "Wow, what a beautiful event! How come I missed it? How come I didn't go last year?"
By the way, it's Hay. Today's Hay.
Today is Nedarim.
Nedarim
Daf Hay.
Right.
Okay. So Baruch Hashem.
Daf Yomi on the phone with Kol Lashon.
Wonderful. Who share do you listen to?
Two of them. OU Daf Yomi and Rabbi Grossman from.
By Elephant? Or by Elephant? To the OU?
I don't know.
Anyway,
it says OU.Yomi.
Okay, very good.
And Rabbi Grossman, David Grossman from California.
Very good.
He was next in line to be the Goya. What about in regard to Yerusha? Because the sons are gone, there is no daughters really. Maybe he would be the one to be getting the property by Yovel from Elimelech. I mean, there's got to be a. How do you.
What's going to happen? Right now, Naomi is in possession. Naomi and Ruth, they're in possession of property. They want to sell it. So when Yovel comes, nothing's going to happen. Adarab, they're going to sell it. When Yovel comes, it will go back to Naomi. It will go back to Ruth. But right now, that's not the issue. Right now, they're destitute. They need to sell the land to have money to make ends meet. Naomi and Ruth have put up for sale land. It's on the market. The real estate agent says we have new property has entered the market. The rule is, however, in Jewish law, it's not available to the public. The first one that has a right to redeem it are the closest relatives. They first contact the closest relative. Are you willing to purchase this property? And in fact, there is a mitzvah for you to purchase the property. And then if they don't want to purchase the property, then it goes to the next relative. So the closest relative upon whom the mitzvah falls to buy the land is this person whose name is Tov. We're assuming his name is Tov, who the pasuk here is purposely unidentifying by calling him Ploni Almoni. Both words is a repetition. Both words mean he is a hidden person. Ploni, Lashon of Pela, ki Poli Bimcha Dovar, Almoni, Lashon of Elaim, Almon, it is concealed. What's the concealment? According to Rashi's second interpretation, it's in the matter of halacha. He's a person that is an elaim. He's a deaf mute. What does he mean, a deaf mute? He didn't listen. He did not go to shir. He didn't learn the halacha. And therefore, he can't talk in learning. A deaf mute means both. He can't hear and he can't talk. Why can't he hear? He chose not to hear. And therefore, he has nothing to say. What do you mean, nothing to say? When we ask him the halacha, are you familiar with the law of marrying a woman from the nation of Moab? He right away says, as far as I know, it says in the Torah, lo yavo amoni umoavi b'kal Hashem. If he would be a Talmud Chacham, he would know that Moavi v'loy Moavis. It is permitted. So it's lacking in Torah knowledge. What? That's because he didn't know the halacha? Almoni shoye almon midivrei tar shoylo lidrosh almoni v'loy almonis amoyov v'loy amoyovis v'hu amar pen ashkes nas nachalasi. He later says, no, it's not a good idea. My children will not be Jewish if I marry this woman. So we have two interpretations according to Rashi. Why we're calling him almoni. Now let's see over the Targum pasuk aleph. Uvoaz seleik. Boaz went up. He went up. Lisra beis dina de Sanhedrin. He went to the bed. So when it says with the Yashar, as we started with today, Yashar means the Sanhedrin, and we take note that again that it did not say the Sanhedrin Rabbah, like it said back in Paragimel Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it said the Shar, Kol Shar Ami, was the Sanhedrin Hagadol. Here it just says he went to a Sanhedrin, which seems he went to a Sanhedrin of 23 judges. The saved time, and he sat there im Sovaya. Here he adds something that does not say with the old people, with the elders. He sat there, he just sat around. with the Zakenim in the Sanhedrin. V'ha, Parika, and guess what? It was just a chance thing, an incredible Hashgacha Pardes that particular day. Who happened to be coming into Beis Din to check out, to read the posters? The most wanted, the 10 most wanted. So who happened to be on that list? He happened to be on that list. He was there, he walked in, V'ha Parika, the Redeemer, the Goyal, the one that was the close relative, Chalaf. He happened to pass by. Demalel, the one that was spoken about, Boaz, Lerus, the one that Boaz spoke to us about the day before, Va'amar, oh, my good luck, look who walked in today. Siti, Siti means turn aside, like we have in this week's parasha, Sota, Isha Kisiste, if she turns astray. There it's used in a negative form. She goes astray, she's on the table. Here we're using it, he told him, come, come aside, turn away from what you're doing now. Tivchach, Zetzachavek, sit down over here, I want to talk to you. Givar, now here look at the Targum, as we said before, Targum puts a peers, and not everyone agrees what I'm telling you is correct. But on a very simple level, the Targum puts a very positive spin on the words Ploni Almoni. Come, you tzadikol. You're a good person. You're a holy person. Givar dit snion or chose. A person whose ways are discreet. What more can you want from a person in this world? To be a person who's a tzanua. Tznius is not just for women. Tznius is for men. For men
it also to be a level of to get him to sit down and you say, oh,
he's saying nice things. Alright, then they can't a lot of Svarm on Rus. I've seen a lot of
Negiyah's on the man.
What?
The Issa Negiyah's on the man.
The
Issa of Negiyah
is on the man for Tznius, not on the woman. Oh really, yeah?
Yeah.
There's no prohibition for a woman
right,
to touch.
In other words, right. I mean,
is that really true?
It's not a good idea, but the
really?
On the man, yes.
Okay. Did Snion or Chose, whose ways are discreet. He's trying to tell everyone that you don't have to have a Facebook page, you don't have to have a Twitter account, you don't have to have your own blog. A person that does not, can you imagine today living in the Goyish world, you tell a Goy doesn't have a Facebook account. It's unheard of. It means they have to psychoanalyze there's something wrong. But by us, the
employees are not encouraged.
They're not encouraged, but they probably anyway have, no? Whatever.
They don't
encourage it.
They don't answer it. They did answer it years ago, and then now they don't answer it, but they don't encourage it.
They don't encourage it. But you know, even in a lot of day schools, I know I have relatives, they're not in New York City, they're out of town, and part of the requirement, they have to have a Facebook page.
A good Israel said, no internet use. A good Israel. Of America.
Who?
A good Israel?
Okay. But here he's saying that Tznion, look at these words, they're very powerful words. That Tznion or Chose. This person, Toiv, he was a discreet person. Usita, he listened to the command of the Rosh Sanhedrin, the Boaz, he turned aside, V7, and he sat down. Okay, okay, let's go. Next pasuk. Pasuk base. Vayikach asor anoshim yizikne choir. Boaz, he gathered together 10 people from the elders of the city. Vayomer, and he said, Shavupo, sit down over here. Vayeshevu. The obvious question is in Sanhedrin. They already went to the Sanhedrin. So weren't there already 23 people sitting there? Weren't they already? So it's not really clear why either they were not in session. They were not in session. So indeed, there were not 23 people. He just went to the Sanhedrin, to the building. It was
10 Germans.
Maybe the ten members of the Sanhedrin, they disagreed with him. They all disbanded. He wanted to convince them, Amoni, who were going there, to Mahalchim, why he needed 10 people. According to one opinion, he wanted, at this point in time, according to one approach, at this point in time, he wanted to issue the Psak Halacha, Amoni, V'loi Amonis, Moe V'loi Moyavis.
Wouldn't he need Sanhedrin for that?
So wouldn't he need the Sanhedrin for that? So, yeah, L'chari, he would.
So why is he asking for 10 people? He wants
to be Mepharsim. So it could be, like what May really saying is 10 journalists. The Sanhedrin is, maybe it was the Psak. There are many interpretations, but one approach is the Enechanami, the Sanhedrin issued the 23 Dayanim of the Sanhedrin issued the Psak. And the 10 people in the audience was Lepersume Milsa to publicize the matter. Why can't we expect the Sanhedrin themselves to be the ones who publicize the matter? It's not a hinder. You want to have a different audience, a different expertise. The people that have the cameras, and have access to the media, they have a different expertise than the Sanhedrin. No, what are you saying? No?
I've had a problem with this whole line of thinking.
Right.
It's still not a done deal at this point in time.
There are many stages.
It's not a done deal.
Look, the only...
Others say that the PSOC was issued at the best end of... Was already given.
Yeah.
But not that many knew about it.
So here he's trying to promote it.
And it's
or we can say there were different stages. Look, we were talking about Geirus. So he's mentioned the idea that there were two stages of Geirus. There was first she became a Ger Tzedek.
No.
I mean a Ger Taishav. And then later she became a Ger Tzedek. Is there such a thing? I don't think there's no such thing today in halacha that a person wants to become a Ger. We tell them you first do the Shem Mitzvah Noach, become a Ger Taishav. And then whenever we see you ready, we'll become a Ger Tzedek. We don't really have such thing in halacha. No, we don't. We do not. But there are some.
You learn and behave like a.
There's no such thing today. You can jump from becoming an Oivet of the Zohar to becoming a Ger Tzedek in one shot. There's no stages of first become a Ger Tzedek, then become a Ger Tzedek. But yet there are commentators that say that's exactly the way it worked. That's the way it worked in time of Rus. Rus, when she married Machloin V'Chilyoin, she became a Ger Tzedek. She did convert, and now she became at some later point in time she became a Ger Tzedek. So you see, there were stages. Likewise, with regard to the Psak halach, it could be that it was first.
The story. I think now she.
Okay, I don't know the answer. There are different the subject to debate when it happened.
Carl has a point here. No, it was never Pesach to say
write it down.
That you're not allowed to marry a Mayavi.
Yeah.
Never Pesach. People have said, oh, that's the law. It's wrong. So things become publicized in the community. You accept it as a Pesach. So he went to Sanhedrin and said, no, there's no such halacha.
Maybe it was never relevant. It never happened.
Being mafarsim that this was never halacha.
Well, maybe it was never relevant. It wasn't a question, it's not halacha. It never happened, such a thing. No one ever came forward until this point in time to convert from the nation of Moab. It never happened. This was the first time this question was presented, and now we need a psak halacha. Here he's going to the Sanhedrin. It says here it was the Shah, it was Sanhedrin. And the Targum is the one that's making the trouble. Because if not for the Targum, you would say he just went to the city gate. He went to town hall. He went to Times Square, and he took 10 people and he told them the halacha. But the targum that says no, when it says the shah, it means he went to the Sanhedrin. So l'chayra, the Sanhedrin worked 24. They worked 7 days a week. So why now does he need? Why now does he need now to gather 10 more people? This indeed is a problem. So then you have to say that the according to the targum that wants to know this was the Sanhedrin. The 10 people was what was we're going to see was to marry her. He was actually going to marry her here on the spot, and this is a sugya in Masechta Kiddushin that for Nisuin you need 10 people, for Kiddushin you only need 2 witnesses, for Nisuin you need 10 people to be. Why do you need 10 people? Because of the Sheva Brachas,
right.
And the Sheva Brachas. So why 10 people? So this is also why you need 10 people to get married. Why? So some say it's presuming Milsa and Nechanam. You want people to know that she's an Eishes Ish. People should not try to propose to her, try to take her away. Everyone should know. Well, some say it's the Sheva Brachas, Shevach V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person gets married, it's a miracle. Believe me. it's a miracle. What?
And Yavama doesn't need Sheva Brachas.
She does. Certainly she needs Sheva Brachas. Only for 7 days. But at the wedding, the time of marriage, everyone agrees you need 7 blessings. And the Sheva Brachas are forms of Shevach V'Oidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you give Bracha, Hashem, when you give Hoidah, you need 10 people to make Sheva Brachas. Now, let's go off on a tangent. This is subject to, there's a Machlekes the Gemara. What is the source for that you need 10 people to get for marriage? So there's a Machlekes in the Gemara. One opinion says it comes from this pasuk. It says here that he gathered 10 people. The other opinion, the Gemara says, no, it's not from this pasuk. The reason why he gathered 10 people was to be mefarsim the psak halacha mayav v'lemayavis, and the source for sheva brachas of 10 people is bimakelois birchu Hashem among in assemblies a kehila kahal is 10 people and mos is a kahal. I don't remember the exact drush, but a kahal, an assembly is 10 people. Berchu Hashem, bless Hashem.
An Eda is
10. So a kahal is also 10. And here it's really plural, b'makhelos, some history, you need 20 people, b'makhelos, 2 kahilos. All right. Whatever it is, yeah, b'makhelos, Berchu Hashem. And there's a very big nafkamina between these two sources. Does the chasan count as one of the 10? If you learn that the Mekor comes from this Pasuk here, then the Chasan does not count. You need 10 people besides the Chasan, because Boaz was the Chasan. And yet Boaz gathered an additional 10 people. If you learn the source comes from B'makelos, Birchu Hashem, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, in assemblies, bless Hashem, what's the word?
Birchu
Hashem, then the Chasan is included as one of the 10 people. And indeed, that's the Halach. Halach Lamaisa, the Chasan can be counted as the 10. That's the Mekor, B'makelos, Birchu Hashem. This Pasuk is not the Mekor, because this Pasuk then will require 11 people, Chasan plus someone else. So why then the Gemara said that he gathered 10 people? Lipersume milsa, to publicize the halacha.
From Lavan, Vayas,
Love made a mishteh.
Yesof Lavan is kol anshei ha-makom, Vayas mishteh.
Yeah, it's kol anshei ha-makom.
That was lipersume, he wanted everybody
to know that it was Rachel, not Leah. Leah, not Rachel, not that he outsmarted Yaakov Avinu. Okay, now again, you touched upon Rabbi Mayevsky touched upon another very interesting, which is quoted in virtually all the Sfarim that I saw. I don't remember the name of this. A Hasidish Rebbe, and he made note. One of his Hasidim came and said to the Rebbe, "I can't afford to make a wedding. Look at all my friends. I can't keep up with the Joneses. I can't afford this." So the Rebbe said, "What's the problem?" Is the Rebbe said to him, "In the Torah and Tanakh, we only have two weddings, Lavan and Boaz. Lavan, it says, those pasuk quoted, he gathered the entire city." What was the pasuk? Vayakel?
Vayesof Lavan is kol anshei ha-makom.
It's kol anshei ha-makom vayas mishteh. He invited a whole city. 8 million people live in New York City.
The armory.
8 million people. You invite all the politicians, everyone comes to the wedding. 8 million people. That's what Lavan did. And what did Boaz do? 10 people. It says he got married. We got 10 people over here. Ultimately, it says mizikne. We had 10 older people. And exactly what it says. Zikne means they don't eat a lot. If you invite the young, the Zikanim don't need the Viennese. Strict diet. They don't need a Viennese. No. That's what he says. It actually says this. I'm telling you. I have it over here. He actually says that. The Zikanim, they don't need a lot. They don't need. The young people, even 10 people, you got to serve them. No. Nice. Dessert.
We don't say that.
Okay, so we have here two different, it's a very interesting, you have in the Torah only the two extremes. It's a very interesting idea. You have the extreme of Lavan and the extreme of just bare bones, skeleton wedding. 10 people. Someone wants to ask you if I can come to a wedding like that. I can be the 10th man for a wedding. Right? They asked you, can you be a 10th man for a minion? But they needed a 10th man for a wedding. They didn't want me to hold the pole.
Many years ago, standing thing, the rabbi studied when he was in the rabbi's.
Right. Okay. So that's what you see. That is what?
Did you go?
Did I go? I actually did. I don't remember if I went. I don't remember.
We had a way from yeshiva. It's called in like that.
For a wedding, 10 people. So this is where it comes from. You need 10 people. Okay, so we have over here. He gathers together asara anoshim mizikne ho'ir vayomeshu po vayeshevu, and they sat down. Okay, let's see. Let's see over here. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Targum. Pasuk Beis. Udevar. Udevar means he took. Asarte guvrin, 10 men, misavikar, from the elders of the city. Vamarni said, Tivu hocha, sit down over here. And the Pasuk says, Visibu, and they sat down. Okay, let's go to the next Pasuk. Okay, Vayomer la goyel, he says to the goyel, Chelkas asod asher leochim lelimelech, He says to him as follows. He says to the Goyel, now we're calling him by the name of Goyel, all different names. His name is Toiv, his name is Ploni Almoni, now he's called La Goyel. The Chelkas, the portion of the field, Asher Lachinu Le'Elimelech, that belongs to our brother Elimelech. Now he was not his brother. We mentioned that, we actually already quoted this passage before. A person calls his uncle his brother. A person calls his nephew a brother. The Elimelech, because Boaz was the son of Salmon, who was the brother of Elimelech, and according to what we have learned, he was only a half brother, a brother through the father. And this person, the Goyal, who we're calling Toiv, he was a brother to Elimelech, both from the brother, from the father and the mother. So, and also he was older. This person, this not only are you my uncle, but you, my uncle, are older than my father. So you have many things going for you that I do not have. You're a generation closer. You're a brother. I'm only a nephew. Number two, you're older than my father. And number three, your yichus is both from the father and the mother, whereas I only have yichus from the father, not the mother. Chelkas hasada asher liyachinu lelimelech machor Naomi. Naomi has sold hashava mistei Moab, who has returned from the field of Moab. There is no Rashi. Gimel Rashi the Targum. Va'amar, and he said liforika. He said to the Goyel, Achsonas. Achsonas means the portion, Chalka, of the field, Dila Achuna, that belongs to our brother Elimelech, Zabeinas, Naomi, she has already sold. So the simple translation of the pasuk is, it's already over. It already was sold. It doesn't say who bought it, but it says already was sold. The Savas, who has returned Mechakal Moav from the field of Moav. And now the question...
That's the woman of a lot of Mepharshim on that whole phrase, Hashavah Mishra Moav. What do you mean return? This is her first trip.
What do you mean?
She was never in Eretz Yisrael before.
Well, that's Rus. That's Rus. No, but here it says Naomi. It says
once.
So we're coming back soon. But first, so we mentioned that it goes back to Lot. That was the common answer was that Lot went. So we were Machra. But here it says Naomi. Machra Naomi. Hashav mistei Moav. Vani. Now here, this is all a build up to the next generation, to Naomi's sons, Machla and Dichilyon, who was married to Rus, and now she's also putting up for sale a piece of land. Vani pasuk dalid, vani amarti, I have said, egle oz necholemar. I have said, who have I spoken to? I've spoken to myself. I said to myself, egle oz necholemar, let me reveal to your ears the following. Kinei, let me make you the following opportunity. Kine acquire neged in front hayeshvim, in front of those that are sitting over here. The neged ziknei ami, the elders. So here we have two different groups. They are the yeshvim and they are the ziknei ami. I want you to purchase it. Im tegal geol, if you choose to redeem it, redeem it. Vim lo yegal, if you do not want to redeem it, hagidali, make it known to me. Ve ede'a, okay, we spell it over here with a hey, ve ede'a, and I will be known. It should be known. Ki ein zulascho legol, there is no one else to redeem it, the vanochi acharecha, I am after you. I'm the only one available to redeem it besides you. Vayomer, and then he says, Anochi ego. Then he says, I will redeem it. So from the similar in the pasuk it's mashma that when it says here, machra, machra, does not to be taken literally, that it already was sold, it means, halavai, it should have already been sold. It's a desperate situation when you have a word that's in the past tense, and the context is the present, it means, we're in a rush, that we have this piece of property must be sold, halavai, if only it was already sold. But it really means little that it is for sale, and if I'm offering the opportunity to purchase this piece of land. Now, before you go further, there's one important thing I forgot to mention, is that the fact that there was over here a Goel worked out, was a silver lining, was a very great bracha for Boaz, because Boaz would not be able to marry Rus because he would be no Gea Bedavid. There's a very popular halach that if Dayan is no Gea Bedavid, Dayan issues a halachic ruling and he benefits from that psak halacha, he's not allowed to benefit. Like is a piece of property, is a din Torah. Is this house up for sale? Who does the house belong to? Does it belong to Reuven or does it belong to the state and it belongs to Reuven, then there's no way I can possibly buy it. So a dayan paskins, it does not belong to Reuven, it belongs to Hefker, or belongs to someone else. Then the dayan goes ahead and he buys the piece of property. He can't do that. You're not gei b'davar. You're not allowed to issue a psak halacha where you have what to gain from the psak halacha.
It's like inside the trading, you know.
Exactly. So clearly, it's clearly forbidden. So Boaz, if it's true, okay, this is debatable. When was the halacha decided? Amoini v'loi amoinis. When was this halacha decided? According to the Gemara, one opinion, it was decided right here and now. That's why he gathered 10 people to paskin the halacha and to the fasting the halacha, the 10 people. And what does he do the very next thing? He himself paskins the halacha and he then goes and he marries her. He's not allowed to do that. You know, gei b'davar. You're passing halacha and you're marrying her? So the answer is, I'm not passing this for me. I'm passing this for you, the goyel. You are the closest relative. I'm not no gei b'davar. You have first rights. And in fact, you have to say, with that, it works out a lot better that everything he's doing here is trying indeed to encourage the goyel, marry her, do it. And the halacha is that it's mutter. I'm passing the halacha. I'm not no gei b'davar. It's only after he rejected her was he then allowed to take her for himself. Because he did not paskin the halacha for himself. He paskin the halacha for someone else. So there was a buffer. There was a buffer between himself and Rus. This was a blessing in disguise. Had there been no one else but him, had it been simple, had it been Rus shows up, she lies down by his feet, okay, I want to marry you, but we have a halachic problem, you're in a mayavis, and I need to issue a psak halacha mayavis, mayavis, I'll be no gei b'davar, I'm the Rosh Sanhedrin, I have to sign off on this, and if I want to marry you, it doesn't look right. It's impropriety. It's not proper. So therefore, now that there is some middleman in between me and you, that is what made it permitted for Boaz to marry her. So this fact that there was a girl was to the benefit. It wasn't like you learned simply that this was an impediment. This was some detour. Adarabba, this was to his benefit. So the Pasuk here says, let's see, so we did it, let's see, we saw where were we up to in the pasuk. Ani amarti eglas chalemarke. So let's see over here the targum on pasuk dal. First there is Rashi. Rashi says ve'edo aki ein zuloscha. You should know there is no one besides you. Koroiv ligol, that is close to redeem. The Mefarshim point out, and why did he say the word ve'edo? Oh, what's the significance of this word? The word edo is always used in reference to marriage. Al kein yazav ish as of v'asimo v'davak be.
You didn't want to say, I'm
going to
marry her if you don't, because of what you said. Nogei b'davar. So first, if the other guy says, I'm not interested, I don't want, then...
Then it becomes permitted. Okay, but the Eda is alluding to the fact that the Eda, the word Eda is always the word that's just in reference to marriage. He's already hinting over here that there's going to be marriage that's coming along the line. Let's see over here. Adam Yodas Chavi Ish. The word Yodas is a code word for marriage. He's already hinting to over here, let's clarify this matter because this matter also involves marriage. Okay, let's see over here the Targum Pasuk Dalet. The Worsha Brachas. That's why there were 10 people. What? Adam Harishon, there was no minion. That's right, so there were no Shebrachas. There was no minion. There was only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where was the Edom? We have a bigger problem. Where was the Edom? So we discussed it yesterday, that you don't need Edom, because since there's no one in Sanogea, there's no one else in the world. Who is she offered to?
He was
offered to. Right, because she was anyone else, no one else to marry.
So he didn't have to say ever
yet. He did not know.
She could have said to him, you know, here's your baby.
Okay. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Dalva. Ano Amaris, I said, who did I say to? Seems like he said to myself. I talked to myself. Aglei Udinoch, let me reveal the following matter to your ear. Let me whisper into your ear. Lemeimar, to say, Kinei, acquire the property of Naomi, Kol Kovel Yosvei Tara, in the presence of all of the people sitting in front of the gate, the Beis Din of the Sanhedrin, in the presence of those that sit in front of the Sanhedrin, the Kol Kovel Sovya, the Ami of my nation. Acquire the property publicly, you should go on public record, anyone can go online and look up the deed and see that you purchased it. In Isru Usach, Lemifrak Peroik, if it's your will to redeem. Vimlo Isru Usach, if you don't have a will, chaveli, chaveli always means speak, tell me, open up your mouth, tell me, the enda and I will know what to do. I will know, meaning then I'll do it myself. Arum, because lo is bor minoch, there was no one else to who rashoy, that is permitted, lemifrak, to redeem kodamach before you. You have first rights. Those are the laws. Uduhu kariv lemitav chavasach, and she is closest to be given. She is to be with you. Uduhu kariv lemitav, to be given chavasach. Va'ano, and I, ara minoch. Ara means lower. Ara means I am lower on the rung, on the ladder of the hierarchy. Who comes first? Ara minoch. And I am a redeemer. I am a redeemer that comes after you. There's a lot of redundancy. I don't know the significance. I redeem after you. It's Vamar. And he said, okay, I'm not Ephraim. He said, I agree. I agree to marry her. That's very important. The fact that he agreed means this whole thing is not a kinu. Again, the problem is Boaz, if he's giving the psak halacha, it's not proper for him to marry her. The fact that he actually agreed, the fact that the psak halacha was accepted to the point where the goyel said, I accept, I will do it, I will do it. Well, you know, you surely shouldn't say that. I'm sorry, I take it back. To purchase the land.
Right.
And then he told her, but to get the land, you also have to marry her. Right? So he didn't say that. So he said, I will redeem it. You're right, you're right.
The land, but not the
bank. Right, exactly. Okay.
It says, Nami sold the land.
But he sold the land, only the land. So far, it's only the land. Okay, it's only the land. Okay, let's see. Let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, so he says, I will do it. I will anochi ego pasuk hey vayomer Boaz. So now Boaz tells him some bad news. Not bad news. He tells him there's a little bit more to it. Vayomer Boaz biyom kinos chasodim yad Naomi. When you buy the land from Naomi, it's not only her land. You also have to buy another piece of land. It comes with another piece of land. That's the land that belongs to Naomi's children, Machlon v'Chilion. But that land is currently in the possession of Rus Hamoavia. Umeyom kinos chasodim yad Naomi. Umeyes, there's someone else. Rus Hamoavia. Eishes hames. Konisa. Okay, we have to read it. Konisa. You shall acquire it. You will also have to acquire it. Lehakim, to establish Shem Hames al Nachalasai upon his inheritance. So there's a lot going on here in between the words. He's basically telling her outside, if you buy Naomi's land, that's not the only piece of land that's for sale. You're also the closest of kin to purchase the land of her two sons, Machlon v'Chilion. Who currently has possession of that piece of those lands? Rus. Now this works out very well if we learn like the opinion that Rus was married to both Machlon v'Chilion. This we had a discussion, then Rus was married to both because she was married first, let's assume, to Kilion. Was first married to Kilion, and then Kilion died, and then Machlon was miyabim her. Machlon was miyabim her. And then Machlon died. So when Machlon was miyabim Rus from Kilion, what is the law? All of the property that belongs to Kilion goes to Machlon. If Machlon was not miyabim, where would all the property have gone? It would go back. It would go back to Naomi. So that was already included in the sale of Naomi's property.
Elimelech died.
All the property went down to Yerusha. Elimelech dies, all the property goes down to Yerusha. But then it goes back. Machlon, the brother, aha. So in Munchal, no matter how it works out, all the property, it says that Naomi also has land, which means that Elimelech gave her land that she has no possession, that he has no rights in. Nichsei Tzon Barzel. Then Naomi had her own assets. Naomi has her own assets. And the two children also had assets. But that all of those assets now have ended up in the possession of Rus. Either it ended up in the possession of Rus because of Yibum, because Machlon married the widow of Kilion. That means they didn't have two separate wives. There only was only one wife. He married her, and then when he married her, he takes possession of the assets. Or the Yerusha. They had two separate wives, but what? You're right. I'm sorry, you're right. Arpa, I'm forgetting about the basics. So maybe they married to both at the same time. He's married to both, two sisters, it's Sarah, two wives at the same time.
Then she also,
but doesn't she, what happened to her? So maybe she took it in the Chlamis, maybe she took it with her. She retained her rights on that piece of land. On the land. She sold it. She sold it far away.
Maybe it proves that Rus was the guy first, before, because otherwise, if someone marries a non-Jew, they have Yerusha, there's no Yerusha.
Okay, that's a general question. Was there Yib, not Yib, and when was the Yib? That goes back to the old question. I don't know the answer.
But the Arpa was not the guy at all.
Okay, these are...
Freya works out that she wasn't.
That's why there's no two sisters.
Okay, these are all the very big issues. Okay, but in any event, there's another piece of land that is in the possession of Rus, and that land now we want to transfer that piece of property to the same girl that's going to redeem the property of Nami, is going to redeem the property of Rus. But here comes the catch. He tells her, in order to acquire that land, you also have to marry her, because she is a Yavama, and a symbolic Yibam must be done.
Twice.
What twice?
She's twice.
So she's a Katlon, as you're saying. She's a killer woman.
Right.
Because she already killed two
so
husbands.
Why would a man who's 90 years old want to marry a woman who already put
put death? So you should know that the Chassam Sofer, learns, if I'm saying the Chassam Sofer, not Chassam Sofer, that's exactly what he meant to say, like, Ashkes Esnachalasi. Some want to learn that when he in the next pasuk says, no, I will not marry Rus, because if I marry Rus, I'm going to destroy Nachalasi. It's a euphemism. It's assisted suicide to marry her because she already killed two husbands. So I'm going to be the third guy. She's a katlonis. That's really what he meant. Ashkes Esnachalasi. And what did the Boaz say? Shomer mitzvah lo yedar davara. If you do a mitzvah, it's not going to happen. It's not a raya. Because when Machloin married, Rus, it was also a mitzvah of Yibam. What?
He didn't die right away.
He died. He died prematurely.
You
see, even when it comes to Yibam, Yibam is not going to save the person from Shem Mitzvah. It does not operate. So he told me, one other, but over here you're doing another mitzvah of Geula. So he's saying over here that since here you're going to redeem the property, and the mitzvah of Geula is a real mitzvah. In other words, it could be part of it. There's a lot of big question marks. But some of the answers are as follows, is that a symbolic Yibam is not going to save you from a katlonis. If it was a real Yibam, a real mitzvah deraisa of Yibam, yeah, then shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. What about Nachlan and Kilya? Well, maybe they were not Magayim. Maybe they were not, it was not a full-fledged conversion. Maybe there was no... when it comes to a symbolic Yibam, but when it comes to the mitzvah of Geula, of redeeming your closest relative's property, that's a mitzvah de'oraisa. That was last week's parsha. Last week's parsha?
What?
The Geula. In Bamidbar, is that in Bechukosai? Redeeming your close relative's property.
No, that's in the
Bahar Bechukosai? Bahar. So redeeming that is a mitzvah deraisa. So there you can certainly be confident, Shemir mitzvah lo yedar davara. How that was a disagreement, but the Goyal said, no, I don't have confidence because two people already died. Alright, let's finish up the Rashi. We'll finish up very quickly. Let's see over here the Rashi. Rashi over here says, there is no Rashi in Pasik, Pasik Hey, there is one Rashi. He says, "Me'ais Rus Hamovia, at tzach liknois. You have to liknois. V'hi ena misratze ella imkain tisoena." Rashi adds some flavor to the pasuk. He's saying that technically you don't have to marry her. There is a mitzvah of geula, of redeeming, but she, Rus, is putting in her own conditions. The only one that's going to be permitted to redeem my field, if you want to mekayim the mitzvah, I'm eating a tanah, you have to marry me. And she's not going to let it. And who says you have a right? Who says you have a right to do such a thing? I don't know the answer. Maybe you do. What? Why would Noah make that condition? Rashi's not elaborating. Rashi's just saying that she added this condition. Let's see the Targum. Yeah. It says,
for the purpose of Yibam, does it distinguish between when or not there is land?
No, there's no distinction.
Because it sounds like
He's focusing. Boaz now is focusing on the geula.
So that determines.
No, there's no halachic yibam. There's only a symbolic yibam.
Right.
The only real mitzvah present is the geula, the mitzvah of geula. A person is poor. He has land that has to be sold. The rule is the closest relative is required to buy the land. Why only the closest relative? Because I guess that keeps the land in the same mishpacha. If I'm not mistaken, it's because when Yovel comes. When Yovel comes, not all the land. Wait, how does it
depends.
Work?
It depends.
A lot of different factors.
Homo or not.
But generally, when you redeem it, we want to keep the property in the family. Chazal are not favorable. The Torah is not favorable that the Chalukas Haaretz in the time of Moshe and Yeshua should go into other Shvat, and the land should be kept to the way it was divided to the best, originally the most that we can. And that's why the Gula is the closest relative. But here she's making it tonight. The closest relative, maybe close relative, has to marry me, and if you don't want to marry her, then it's not going to happen. So let's see the targum. Targum about Mar Boa. Boa says, "B'yom the day zivan nusach, when you purchase yos chaklo min yodudim, when you buy the land from the army, umin." Now he reveals that not only now you have to buy from the army, there's another piece of land that has to be purchased as well. Umin yodudrus moavi saw itas the woman misa. The wife of the widow, the wife of the man who has died, chayav at lemifrak, you also chayav. Umin yedad rus mavia itas misa chayav at lemifrak. You also chayav. When you want to buy the land from Naomi, you also have to buy the land of Rus. Uboi liyaboma. Again, according to the Targum is the only one from the early commentators that is very explicit in the word Yibam. He keeps on using the word Yibam over and over, even though it's clear as day there is no halachic Yibam according to the laws of Shulchan Aruch, but it's a symbolic Yibam.
If you don't redeem the land, you lose it. You have to redeem it or you're going to lose it. You have a period of time where you're allowed
2 years.
To redeem it. Right. Depending on...
And if you're not going to buy it back, you're going to lose it. So when it gets lost, the potential to get it, we at least want it to stay in the same shevet and the same family. So therefore, in order to be a safeguard that it should not go to another shevet, you're going to lose it. Right. You have to go marry her as a wife. So that liokoma, it should be established. Shum, the name Yisrael of the dead man, al achsante, upon the inheritance. Okay, one point here, and that is those who want to put a negative spin on everything that's happening here, that the Boaz is trying to discourage the goel. Why does he have to add in umeis rus hamoavia? Let him just say umeis rus. If you're a good car salesman, you don't go and say every 5 minutes, "Okay, I'm going to sell you the car that has 200,000 miles on it." Okay, are you ready here? I want you to sign on the dotted line. This is the car of 200,000 miles, and it was in 5 accidents, and it's missing all the parts. So you keep on repeating all the chesroinos. Is that the way you do a sale? Right, it's not the way you do a sale. So why does it keep on emphasizing all of the chesronos? What's going on over here? So according to those who want to say that he was very hard, the ani hamad b'charon does not apply to mitzvos, and Boaz saw a good deal, he saw that he can be the father of Mashiach. I know you're a good guy, but listen, you know, don't do me any favors. I'll tell you all the chesroinos, because if you don't want to do it, I'll be very happy to do it. I'm not trying to be mizaki with this mitzvah. That's how some want to learn. If you want to go say that, no, Adam, he was trying to encourage him, you said he's very ethical. I'm encouraging you. I'm telling you it's a good deal. But you also, there should not be a mekachtos. You have to realize it's going to take generations until people finally accept the rule of moyav, moyavi, v'loy moyavis. Okay, we're out of time, so we'll pick this up near Shem next time. Stop over here.